Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Put them together for a busy Tuesday on B&E. Is it fair to say now, Buck, on a Tuesday that the whole narrative last football season that Bill Belichick really can't coach very well and it was all about Tom Brady was a false early quick reaction?
I'll say you've been around football long enough that you knew that when that was the case.
I knew that was true, but at the same time, there are a lot of people that, oh, look, it's all about Brady, who did win a Super Bowl, and New England had a rough year, but Belichick admitted to anybody that would listen that they were rebooting and trying to get their salary cap under control and almost mailed in a season, essentially, during COVID, and we're going to rebuild for this year.
Well, not one person wins that many Super Bowls.
I know, and builds that many
teams. That's an organization.
Yeah, and obviously the rebuild's been pretty quick, and they found their quarterback this year in the draft, and they're bringing him along slowly, but they invested, they spent more money in free agency last...
Yeah, that dude number nine is an animal.
Matthew Judon, yeah. They spent more money in free agency last offseason than any team ever has, I mean, as far as bonuses and total dollars, and they hit on a lot of these free agents.
Yeah, that dude Judon reminds me of the Terminator.
Yeah, he came from Baltimore, and he was one of those guys that the Ravens just couldn't afford to keep, and they do a great job of drafting and developing young pass rushers, as good as anybody, and he was one that got away for them, but they just couldn't afford him.
They miss him right now, I tell you that. They get no pass rush.
They do, and he's, they've won seven in a row now in New England, and if you watch that game last night in Buffalo in gale force winds and you don't appreciate the coaching and just how buttoned up that team is, that was one of those chaos nights, Buck.
How the hell do you not throw the ball more than 15 times in an NFL game and get away with it?
And the entire team bought into it. Everyone, this is the idea. This is something.
What it looks like when you watch Bill Belichick's defense playing? Everybody has success on that defense. Some way or another, he's put you in a position that you really, really can. I mean, he's got guys doing stuff that you look at them in any other form on any other team, you'd probably go, he's just okay.
No, it's something Steve Sarkisian has said his goal is for his team, right? And I think he had it last year at Alabama with the Alabama offense, that when you get really good, the coach, you don't just call plays. The players know why you're calling the play. Mm-hmm. And they almost anticipate that the play is getting called, and this is why we're doing this. That was impressive last night. The whole team understood, all 53, that this is how this game's going to go. We're not going to throw it. We've got to pound it. We got to play great defense. And it would almost have been a perfect game if not for the muff punt, right? The muff punt that hit N'Keal Henry in the nicked his helmet that turned into a short, 10-yard touchdown pass.
Right.
Other than that, it was a perfect game for New England.
And I feel bad
on all phases.
And I feel bad for the Bills because I like to see them win some games and get them going with their young quarterback. But until they solve the running game problem and keep bringing, what's his name, White, number 20. I mean, until they get a real live running back and a running game, not running back, because, for the last couple of years, they played not only with their quarterback, who's had some success and is getting better year by year, but they were really a physical team. They lost some physicality somewhere.
Well, it's all out of the shotgun, first and foremost, which you can do that in the NFL. Pat Mahomes does a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry. His mother wants him to call him Patrick.
Yes.
I will call him Patrick. But, look, they just haven't drafted a great running back either. I mean, Zach Moss has not emerged. They drafted him out of Utah and thought he was going to be it. Devin Singletary is kind of that third down back. They brought in Matt Breida, who had a fumble last night. He's not the answer. And there's no doubt that the New England Patriots have established what their identity is. They're going to play the best defense in the AFC. They're going to be able to run the football with Devin, with Damian Harris, and now Ramondre Stevenson, the youngster out of Oklahoma, is stepping into that role. Mac Jones is going to do the early Tom Brady thing of just, short passing game, not take a lot of chances, move the chains, and as you said, play complimentary football. And that's what it took last night. And outside of the muff punt, the Patriots almost played, it was just a clinic. in how to play complementary football and just handle those conditions.
And yeah, now New England, I mean, now Buffalo's got to come back there in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be probably just as nasty and just the way they'd love it again.
And the scary part for the rest of the AFC is now New England gets their bye week. Like, this is a really late week 14 bye week.
It's going to be like the old days when you had to go through New England.
It feels like it.
Oh, man.
Doesn't it? I mean, look, that now they get a week off to rest up and, you know, get their batteries recharged. They're on a 7-game win streak as it is. They've now won in Buffalo, who's their chief competitor in that division. And when they come out of their bye, they get the big one, huge game on December 18th at Indianapolis. That becomes we'll talk about two physical teams that can run the football. That game in Indy in 2 weeks. Then they'll get the return visit with Buffalo. Then they get Jacksonville and Miami to wrap up the regular season.
Miami's on a little bit of a stroke right now, too, right? 5 games?
Yes. Tua has found some rhythm, and Jalen Waddle's becoming a real factor and a weapon in their offense. And
their defense is pretty good.
Yeah, that defense, which was rough early, has, you know, made improvements. And obviously, you know, that coach is a Bill Belichick disciple. And
yes.
They're kind of playing similar football down there. But, boy, I can't wait. I mean, it's going to take 2 weeks to get to it. But that game, December 18th, Colts, and that is a night game. That is the – I'm trying to look what the 18th is. Is that a Sunday night, Monday night, or a Thursday night? I got to look at my handy-dandy pocket calculator. In the month of December, the 18th is a Saturday. Ooh, that's a Saturday night game that we'll get when the New England Patriots, because, you know, the Colts just smashed the Texans, and the Colts' record would indicate that they're not great, but boy, they're playing some pretty good football right now. And both the Colts and the Patriots went into Buffalo and smacked around the Bills, to your point about their lack of physicality.
Right, that's surprising, because their head coach, I mean, over the last couple of years, has shown that that was a physical group.
Yes, and they're 7-6 now. You know, that loss that they had a couple losses early that they would like to have back. But remember, Carson Wentz is their new quarterback, and he got hurt right at the beginning of preseason. So we got no preseason with him and the new offense. And
he looks sharp now.
And he's starting to, you know, and then he came back and missed the first couple of games. He is actually getting his feet under him. And I wouldn't, you know, the Colts become one of those teams with Jonathan Taylor at running back, who's, you know, in the running for MVP of the league. You know, he's a guy, that's a team, as they, you know, into December, January, you don't want to play.
Now, do they have anybody to throw it to? I mean, I know they had the old wide receiver who was.
Are you talking about the Colts?
Hilton, is he still hanging out there?
Their leading receiver is Michael Pittman, the young kid out of USC. He's a good receiver, a big receiver.
Big receiver.
He has Zach Pascal. They've got a good group of tight ends there. And, boy, they throw the ball well to their running backs, and not just Jonathan Taylor, but Nyheim Hines. They're a very good screen team because, you know, Colts are built around a really young, good young defense and their offensive line and Jonathan Taylor. And everything comes off of that. And, you know, I wouldn't count them out of the mix for that division in the AFC South, because, you know, Tennessee's 8-4, but doesn't it feel like
they got a couple losses in them?
There's still a couple for them.
Is Henry actually coming back? Will he be back playoff time?
No, I think Derrick Henry's done for the season. It was a foot fracture. Broke his foot. I don't think he's coming back from that.
Spinal.
No, one back.
One back,
but, you know,
sure.
Colts are still in the conversation in the AFC South. Tennessee is going to be coming off their bye week. But I don't think anybody thinks Tennessee's Ryan Tannehill is going to carry them to great things without the Derrick Henry running game that everything's built on.
Well, along the way, if you got to play Denver, I think they're going to be spoiler to a couple people. I love the way they run the ball with their young running back.
Well, Denver needs a quarterback. I mean, and so the AFC right now is New England. I don't know what we consider Baltimore. Baltimore's 8-4, but they just lost in Pittsburgh, and they didn't play a very good football game. And Lamar Jackson has become quite the turnover machine of late. So I'm not sure what to make of them. And then, you know, Kansas City, after a slow start, have, you know, found their legs. They've now won 5 straight.
I still don't get it why their guys can't catch now all of a sudden. This time of the year?
Yeah. New England just doesn't look as sharp as Kansas City, and New England, it seems like they're getting better. So that's a little AFC after the Monday night game last night. Props to Bill Belichick. Let's get to your other headlines of the morning. There are plenty of them, including another name, image, and likeness situation involving the Texas Longhorns. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, a second significant name, image, and likeness initiative that will directly benefit Texas student-athletes, and namely offensive linemen at Texas, was announced yesterday. Of course, last week we told you about the Clark Field Collective that has been launched. And that now comes the introduction of Horns with a Heart, who says in a release that they will sponsor every Longhorn offensive lineman beginning next fall with $50,000 in annual financing for the use of their individual name, image, and likeness, and to make charitable appearances, bring awareness to worthy causes, and impact their local communities. It's been dubbed the Pancake Factory. The initiative was founded by a handful of UT alumni, and it's under a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We'll see if Steve Sarkisian and his staff can now use the newly announced program to take advantage of the recruiting trail. Longhorns are in pursuit of a number of the top offensive line recruits in the nation for the class of 2022. One of those, five-star offensive tackle Kelvin Banks from Houston Summer Creek High School, reopened his recruitment yesterday. He had been committed to Oregon, but officially decommitted from the Ducks in the wake of Mario Cristobal bolting to Miami. Also on the recruiting trail yesterday, another five-star prospect has decommitted from Oklahoma, and this time it's Texas A&M's gain. How about the class of 2022 defensive lineman Gabriel Brownlow Dindy? He's from Lakeland, Florida. He announced yesterday he is decommitting from Oklahoma. He's going to commit to the Aggies. He is the number 3 ranked overall player in the 2022 class and the number 1 defensive lineman. He is the 5th 2022 Oklahoma recruit that they have lost since Lincoln Riley announced he's leading for USC, and he becomes the 4th 5-star commitment to Texas A&M's class. He joins the quarterback Connor Wegman from Houston, Evan Stewart from Frisco, and fellow defensive lineman Walter Nolan from the state of Tennessee. Also from college football, 4 finalists for the 2021 Heisman Trophy revealed last night. 3 quarterbacks are headed to New York this weekend. Alabama's Bryce Young, who is the favorite. Ohio State's C.J. Stroud and Pittsburgh's Kenny Pickett. And then Michigan defensive lineman Aiden Hutchinson making the way to New York. One of those guys will win the Heisman on Saturday night. NBA last night. How about the Spurs? They lose in Phoenix 108-104. And how about the stunning upset in college hoops? Previously winless Texas Southern out of the SWAC went to Gainesville and beat 20th-ranked Florida 69-54.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. The holidays are coming, so don't be a ho-ho-ho. Shop local at Top Gun for all your lawn equipment, equipment rental, and equipment repair needs. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
You know, E, throughout all this Armageddon, you know, of college football this year, image and likeness, I didn't hear about very many of them unless they're just out there. I know compliance officers are probably screaming at me going, what the hell are you talking about? Of kids not being able to play because of compliance, because of image and likeness, people not getting paperwork in. We really have put it on the compliance offices, which they do have enough to do, but I mean, that's something that's part of your job, I would say. But we didn't hear about guys couldn't play or groups of guys couldn't play because
ineligible kind of thing.
Ineligible stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and you know who's
and the compliance officer
that?
Is going, Buck, you just don't know what we went through.
Well,
each
I mean,
and every week, but that's part
you
of your
know it's
gig.
A lot of work.
Hell yeah.
At the same time, the university and the athletic department aren't supposed to have anything to do with name, image, and likeness.
Right.
But the compliance office is for sure. I mean, they've got to make sure they're complying with the rules that have been set. But, I mean, the rules in the state of Texas have been set by the state of Texas, not the NCAA. The NCAA has pretty much said, here, you know, you guys do all that stuff, however you're going to do it. But this is the way, right? It's something we've talked about for, I mean, I've always talked about my final paper at St. Edward's, capstone paper, was about paying college athletes, and that was 25 years ago now. I mean, it's high time this happened, and, you know, the big issue always for colleges and universities was we can't make these people employees of ours. You know, that brings in health benefits and all kinds of craziness.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need that. And, you know, how do we do it just for football players, not for everybody? Well, name, image, and likeness includes everybody. And they're not being paid by the university. And it's outside sources who are funding these initiatives and these collectives. And then the money will and of course, individual players are cutting their own individual
right.
NIL deals. And, you know, it's where it's at and it's where it's needed to go. There's so much money in the industry. It was always, to me, shameful that the
I don't know
product
how you do it
not,
without having an agent. I know you have groups
well,
that are doing
you're allowed
this.
To have an agent or a representative.
Yeah, but they can't be called agent. They have to be just probably lawyers.
You know,
most of them probably are yes,
and
representative.
Or, you know, they're brokers essentially. They're
agent.
Brokering deals. But yes, I mean, like Bijan Robinson's agent, who's his representative, is you know David Mugaletta, who's an agent for a bunch of NFL guys already, and that's probably who he's going to sign on with when he's
mm-hmm.
into the National Football League. And this is, this is professional college sports. I mean, this is what this is. Let's not be, you know, it's not a little bit of money; it's a lot of money. And you know, Nick Saban has estimated that his quarterback Bryce Young, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy on Saturday, you know, probably has made over more than $1 million this year playing football at Alabama, and I'm okay with it. I mean, it's just it's. And now these offensive linemen that are coming to Texas are going to make guaranteed know, $50,000 on top of what they can make on their own, plus the Clark Field Collective. Good.
Giving some back.
Good for them.
The Humpties.
And I've always
good
made
job,
the argument
Humpties.
For two things. One, people talk about, well, these guys are all going to the pros. 3% of college athletes that play college football ever play in the
and
pros.
And if they're smart, they'll leave with something really nice in their pockets.
So now these guys who are the workers, right? They are what we watch on TV. They're the product for 4 or 5 years that sell out these stadiums and create these huge TV contracts, and so these coaches can make, you know, $100 million deals. They're the product, and finally, because of this, they can benefit while they're here. And even if they never step foot in the National Football League, which the high majority of them will not,
right?
They'll leave hopefully with a college degree, and they'll leave with money in the bank.
Right.
Good
Absolutely.
For them. Good for them. And I would continue to argue, shame on anybody who thinks that's not, they shouldn't be getting that.
It's up to the coaches to be able to coach those guys.
Yeah. Well, no, that you're right. That's what you're paying them for. It's one of the reasons, you know, Urban Meyer's not doing a great job with Jacksonville this year. But one of the things he cited when he took the job in the NFL is, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any. You can't coach players who are, you know, can jump in a portal immediately and transfer. You can't be have a disciplined program. They're getting money already. Sure, it changes the face. It changes the sport without a doubt. But you know, these guys have been getting paid this year to play football. Has anybody had a problem with the product this year?
I have.
Well, Texas, but I'm talking about just watching general college football.
No.
It's been a pretty great season.
Yes, it has.
Been a lot to like. I mean, gosh, championship Saturday was pretty tremendous. The week before, the Saturday after Thanksgiving was just as good a Saturday as you're ever going to have. The product's been pretty good. We've got great storylines. We've got some new blood in the mix with Michigan. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't noticed a dramatic change. You could argue it's actually been one of the better years we've had in a while in college football. And these guys have been getting paid.
Yeah, some teams are coming into the forefront, you know, as they get older, getting a little bit better. Even the Aggies have changed.
Exactly. This has been going on. I mean, again, if Bryce Young wins the Heisman Saturday night, he's probably got $1 million in the bank. And does Bryce Young strike you as the guy who's going to play in the National Football League? No guarantees. No guarantee. I mean, he's an undersized quarterback whose arm strength is just okay. Those are beautiful deep balls. He's got great instincts. He's kind of a Tua type player. And Tua's in the NFL.
That's right.
But again, there's a chance he doesn't. And so he's going to be able to capitalize while he's winning a lot of games and, you know, generating a ton of revenue for Alabama and the program and the SEC. He gets the benefit off of that.
Yeah, and like one of the specs techs, they talk about the effort. That's what I would, as a coach, what kind of effort do I get? I don't know. If you were paying me as a player, you'd still get the same kind of effort, I would think.
Yes.
I think if you were smart and you're an offensive lineman, I think that effort would be above and beyond now. Now you're getting money
in
your pocket.
It's above board. And now this Clark Field Collective, you get really smart people who know what they're doing, Nick Shuley, marketer, to help organize this, be the conduit between the student athletes and the donors that want to support the football program and support name, image, and likeness initiatives. It's a smart thing. And then the university doesn't have to deal with it. But as you say, the compliance office does. And as our buddy Craig Flowers, Colonel Craig Flowers just texted us, compliance offices are historically 2-3 deep. They're going to need to be 10 to 15 deep now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much to do all the cross checks. And he said, then that's fine. Well, you're right. You're going to have to grow your compliance office. I think
yeah,
that's fair
that'll
to say.
Have to grow. And along with, I mean, when you start doing this likeness and image and you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, yeah, your people are going to have to take care of that because Uncle Sam's going to want his money.
This says EY is, you have to pay taxes. That's why you have a broker and you have to have an accountant.
That's right.
And, you know, you would argue that, these youngsters are going to have to grow up. You're a business person. And guess what? If you're making this money and you're not performing or you get yourself in trouble off the field or, you know.
There goes your business chance.
There goes your money. Not just your playing time. There goes your cash. So you better grow up and understand that this is, with this opportunity comes responsibility that maybe you didn't have before.
And there will come expectations out of your fans, your fan base.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we've said this for a long time. We watch the Olympics, right? And Olympic athletes who used to be under amateurism, now they can make a bunch of money. Some of them are 17, 18 years old. We expect them to perform, right? The pressure is high for her to pull off the vault or to
absolutely
swim the laps or whatever. But that's been going on for a long time. And those Olympians have been being paid for that. And I don't know that it's altered the performance. Probably has helped the performance. and allowed some great athletes to do it for longer. And as we talked last week with Brian Davis and this, you know, Clark Field Collective, you know, this is not just for football players. This is for the tremendous Olympic athletes that participate at the University of Texas, who most fans have never heard of, who can, you know, use this marketing arm to get their name out, to improve their branding, and allow them to benefit financially while they're training for the next Olympics in 4 years or whatever their chosen, you know, field. There's some amazing athletes on the 40 acres doing amazing things. You know, think about the volleyball team, which is, you know, it's a volleyball school right now, the number two team in the nation, could win a national title this year. Those young ladies get to cash in. Somebody mentioned the baseball team, which is true, and consider this with baseball. Longhorns were just in Omaha for the 37th time or whatever. They almost won a national title. Baseball divides up 11.7 scholarships for the whole roster. So don't think, you know, those baseball players are not on full rides by any stretch of the imagination. No. They're paying for a good chunk of their education and their academics here. Now this gives them an opportunity to cash in on that while they're here to, again, most of them will never play Major League Baseball, but this allows them to, while they're generating revenue at a high level for this university and the baseball program, they also can cash in on that. I think it is high time. But yes, compliance has to step it up.
Yes, they do.
I think it's fair. But all right, we'll take your thoughts on that. That's where we are. Somebody mentioned, why is Texas the only school I've heard of announcing how much they're going to pay athletes? That's a fair question. I don't know if it hasn't been announced in other places. We're just not covering that program as closely. But I do think with the offensive line specific thing we heard yesterday, the Pancake Factory, that is definitely aimed at recruiting right now.
Yes, it is.
That is absolutely aimed at Steve Sarkisian, who cannot sell on-field quality right now, but can now sell, hey, how about 50 grand?
How about 50 grand to start?
Playing time and 50 grand immediately.
You with the round shoulders, come over here. Here's 50 grand.
And the University
of
Texas.
Come on now.
And Austin.
Yes.
We can sell that to you. And it's already in place, and you're ready to go.
And now we got to make you good. We got to make you want to stay.
Well, and you know, I think evidence would tell you they have one of the top offensive line coaches in America in Kyle Flood. They haven't had that for a while, but they do have it now. But you got, you know, you got, if you're going to fix your offensive line, you got to get the best offensive linemen, and they want to come and play where they're going to get developed, but now they're going to get paid.
Developed and paid.
And paid. And play. Because it's the playing time is available at the 40 acres right now.
Yes.
We'll take your thoughts on all of that. That's where we stand. NFL Week 13 in the books. Name, image, and likeness. Coaching carousels. It is a busy Tuesday, there's no doubt. Before the end of this hour, we'll hit your salacious gossip on this 7th of December. We'll also hit your blitz, which will be your time to shine. Craig Way has his report. Part of a busy Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Big conversations being had this morning, talking name, image, and likeness, the future of college professional athletics, and how it pertains.
Yeah,
to
money will get them here, and culture will make them stay for sure, and good coaching will make them stay. You can give them all the money you want, but if you can't get them to do what you need them to do, you know, for your cause, you're going to have problems. But the first things first, get the good ones here.
Yes, and that's how you change it. Talent is going to win. And that's what Texas has lacked. And, of course, you know, the attrition of the, you know, previous classes, all the coaching change, that needs to change. Steve Sarkisian is hopefully, I mean, cross your fingers, is the guy, along with his coaching staff, to get it fixed. Obviously, year one was not successful in building optimism. This came in from Ernest on the text line. He said, that last bit about NIL, the Pancake Factory, and how money will get them here, the most optimism I've had about our program in the last 7 years. Money will get them here. Culture will make them stay. That's the hope, right? That's the goal. That's what you're trying to build here.
Right.
And I would say this. I mean, if you know, it was the Lost Odds once famously saying, you know, we don't keep up with the Joneses. We are the Joneses. It's true. I mean, now you're not on the football field. That seems comical now to say. But as far as money goes, and big money donors and people who will gladly cut checks to support something like this, Texas has very few peers in that regard. And smart business people, the McComb School of Business, and this city, tech, you know, it's a tech hub, and there's just a lot to sell. But yeah, you got to get the talent here, and you got to develop that talent, and you got to put a consistently good product on the football field. And, you know, they're doing that in almost every other sport.
And you got to make these kids want to stay here. You want to keep them out of the portal. Whatever it is that goes on, you got to find out what it is.
And, you know,
how do you do that as a group? Because everybody's not going to be happy. It's hard to keep that many guys all happy. And you know that it's that way in business and everything else. But how do you keep them in your fold?
Well, it's an evolving job for a football coach. There's no doubt. And you can't, if you don't evolve as a coach, you're going to get lost.
For sure.
You're
going to get run over by your players.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things we've talked about in relation to possibly Gary Patterson joining the staff in some capacity. Well, okay. I mean, you can't have enough guys helping with this right now to help develop these coaches. And, yeah, the NCAA has a rule that you only have 10 out recruiting, but at the same time, doesn't mean you can't hire guys and pay people to be
around your players.
Assistant to the head coach, who's almost a second head coach. And it's a role that Gary Patterson talked about Jerry Kill had with him at TCU this year that he
Jerry Kill was around those players.
Yeah. Well, and almost you can't be there all the time.
Right. And he had life stories for those kids.
Well, and yeah, if you're a coach and you're an athletic department, which Texas has done, you better be hiring, bringing in professionals who can help these athletes, you know, understand the finances, the business side of it, the tax implications that are coming. And, you know, you can't leave that solely on the player to figure out. These are young people. You have to help them with that. And, you know, I think I trust with Texas and the initiatives they've set up within the athletic department, I think are combine them all. And it's a pretty robust way to attack this for the University of Texas. Now you got to be able to attract the top talent. We'll see. Well, the results will be in a week. I mean, Texas, December 15th is the early signing window. And I got to think, you know, Sark is now.
Somebody asked me, would I still be recruiting the kid that said he's leaving Oklahoma and going to A&M, the defensive end? Well, hell yeah. If I'm still going to recruit, if I'm going to be parked at the quarterback in town's house, I'm still going to be halfway in this guy's backyard, climbing the fence at least.
Yeah, I mean,
kidding me? Until the 15th, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, but you even as a recruiter knew if there was a kid that you had no chance with, you're not going to waste your time.
Well, I got a lot of that when I was at Boston College going down to Fort Lauderdale. St. Thomas Aquinas trying to get guys to come.
Away from Miami.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, all this said, that the biggest problem Texas has right now is that it's the country club culture we talk about all the time. Adding all this money doesn't help that. Right, somehow you have to ingrain toughness into this program, but I'm watching Chris Beard do it in basketball. I'm watching Vic Schaefer do it in women's basketball. I'm watching Jared Elliott. And I mean, David Pierce had one heck of a team this year. It doesn't all. Why is it only the football program that suffers the country club mm-hmm. culture when the other sports are achieving? Those are assessments that the athletic department has to figure out. And you know, if a Gary Patterson can come in and help you with that side of it, right? I mean, the junkyard dog toughness mentality, which is what his program was built on at TCU for so long. Bring it in. Bring it on. I mean, the program needs it at this point. But you're right. You don't stop recruiting. But we'll see the impact. And I think this thing being announced yesterday, that's not a coincidence. The timing of, you know, just over a week to signing day.
Right.
With the Longhorns only having two commitments right now on the offensive line, yet there are, in conversations and recruiting heavily, 7 or 8 of the top.
Aren't you just in this state and you want to come here and all you have to do is turn on the film?
Yeah,
that's and understand what your abilities are,
and that now we'll see if Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian can close some of these deals. And you know you're not going to get all of the top offensive linemen that you're going after, but can you get 3 or 4 of them? Can this recruiting class of 2 offensive linemen become 6? And you've got the kid Kelvin Banks who was committed to Oregon, who's now opened his commitment. He's on this conversation. The kid Cam Dewberry is a name you're hearing. Big four-star offensive lineman. There's the kid the 5-star kid from Arlington,
mm-hmm.
Who's still undecided, can this help you close some of those? And really, your closer, what do you say? Coffee's for closers.
Coffee is definitely for closers.
I mean, be closing.
That's why with the quarterback. I mean, if you can't sell your wide receiver, your freshman wide receiver from California, I mean, seriously.
Well, and that would be
if I'm a quarterback and I see that guy, do I want to throw to that guy? Well, hell yeah, I do. Now I don't want to be on my back trying to throw it either.
And that's been a problem. And Texas, Texas's biggest problem was, one of the best players in this state who left to go to Ohio State, a wide receiver named Garrett Wilson. He said, I see too many good players come in here and don't get better. I see too many guys. And obviously, and he also had a bad relationship with Tom Herman. But at the same time, he said that. He said, no, I live here. I watch really high-rated players come here and they don't improve. I'm going somewhere where they're pumping guys into the National Football League. Plus, Garrett Wilson spent the first part of his life in Columbus, so he
yes.
grew up Ohio State fan. But at the same time, that was a straightforward commentary on the state of the program, and it's still there. You have to start developing players and build a culture that develops talent.
And they definitely will come because now you have them in this central team. You don't have to go very far to find them here. And you've been losing them. And if you can get things going in the right direction, you can win a lot of games with some of the kids that are right here.
Well, and now you got Texas A&M that's becoming a recruiting Goliath, 150, an hour and a half away down the road. Baylor just won themselves a Big 12 championship 100 miles to your north. Now, Oklahoma, this is an advantage. The Oklahoma thing is big for Texas. This is an opportunity, you know, to really attack the Sooners while they're in a big-time transition. And the kid yesterday who decommitted from Oklahoma, who now committed, because remember we told you yesterday that the longest-standing Oklahoma commitment, this linebacker from Lubbock, he decommitted and committed to Texas, the four-star linebacker. Yesterday, they had a five-star defensive lineman who had been committed to Lincoln Riley, who decommitted and committed to the Aggies. And he's the number one defensive end prospect in the country from Lakeland, Florida. So the Sooners are taking on water right now in their recruiting class this year and next year. Lincoln Riley was the attraction in Norman, Oklahoma. He's gone. How long does it take Brent Venables to catch up and to, you know, fill the holes?
Well, you're not going to lose that many guys and turn that thing around, not in your recruiting classes.
And that's, again, I mean, I don't say Oklahoma's been gutted. They're a big-time program. They'll recover, but they're going to take some initial, what do they say, triage? I mean, you're...
Sure, they're going to take some hits right now.
I mean, five big-time commitments, five-star commitments that were coming there are now not coming there. That's big, and you got to fill those holes, and Texas needs to attack that, and they've already done it with one linebacker. You know, can they pull some others, and can they win some of these battles where it was down to Texas and Oklahoma, and now you take advantage of that? And you know, this is where these cooperative or collectives and initiatives, you can now sell that if you're Sark, and we'll see if they can close it. We've got about a week to that early signing window opening up. We've also got the Heisman finalists. Any issue with the four finalists going to New York?
No, those are the guys.
Amazing. C.J. Stroud, freshman quarterback. Bryce Young, just a first-year starter, going to play to get a Heisman Trophy potentially. And how about Kenny Pickett? If you didn't watch Pittsburgh, he was...
No just, Sooners going this year?
No.
What?
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley's at USC now.
They will be going. There will be some from Southern Cal going.
That's the question. Was it 5 years in a row or 6 years in a row that Lincoln Riley was in New York with a Heisman finalist?
It was five.
I think it was five because he had Baker Mayfield. Remember, Baker went three times, did he not? At least two. Baker went as a finalist and then won it. Kyler Murray went and won it. Jalen Hurts was there and didn't win it, but he was a finalist.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, this kid, Caleb Williams, has all the appearance over time of a guy who can be back in that conversation. But now the question is, will he be there? If you're an Oklahoma fan, you're excited to see Caleb Williams show up with an Oklahoma, We Are Oklahoma
with
football
new coach,
t-shirt
yes.
on to meet Brett Venables. But people close to that situation say no decision's been made. There's no guarantee on Caleb Williams.
Yeah, now, of course, now the kid will have some say in who you bring as your offensive coordinator.
Oh, no.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's how this works. Isn't this how this works now, Zay? Doesn't he have some say in what he thinks about the offensive coordinator that you bring in now, the players?
A little bit.
The Tubby's getting $50,000. So the quarterback, when you get a new guy in there, he's got to be able to say, no, we didn't hit it off real well in our initial meeting.
I don't know if you can go that
grown,
far.
So the grown man who's now the head coach gets to say to the offensive coordinator, I don't think you're a good fit because my quarterback doesn't feel the vibe of you. In meeting number one.
Well, you know, this is college football. I mean, when you're talking about that in the NFL or NBA where the best player has a say, that player's going to be there 10 years, right? You're planning that quarterback to be your quarterback for the next decade if you've got a good one. With these kids, it'll be gone next year. So you better just hire the best coach you can find. Would Joe Brady be a good fit there for you with Brett Venables? Fired by Carolina, but of course he was so good with LSU.
Be a good fit, but I'd hate every bit of it.
If you're for Texas?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we'll see. Joe Brady's now available thanks to Matt Rhule and he clashing and making that move this week. Brian Kelly may have an invite for Joe Brady as well there at...
I don't want that either.
At LSU. Well, I mean, he's going to land somewhere. I mean, it's going to be somewhere good. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Oklahoma, I mean, that would be a splash hire for them to at least stem the tide with Lincoln Riley leaving because Joe Brady's got a great name among college football, the college football world, for what he did with Joe Burrow at LSU. All right, we'll continue these conversations throughout the course of the morning. A lot of texts coming in, and we appreciate it. Somebody mentioned this on the Country Club Culture that we talked about. It says, none of those other athletes in other sports get They get in head-to-head collisions on every play like football players do. It's a much different sport and a type of toughness you have to have. That's true. That's true. But there were times when with Texas this year, Buck, where there were guys that didn't feel like they wanted to even be competitive, right? Every sport, you have to be ultra-competitive to achieve at a high level. You have to be an alpha. You have to be, you know, ultra-competitive. There were times this year where there was a give-up factor in this with this Texas program. And
oh, no, I saw quarterbacks run into the end zone and people like that where guys said, uh-oh, not me, not today.
Not today. I'm making a business decision. That's the stuff that's got to get rooted out and changed. And those comes with just bringing in your kind of guy. But you're right. I mean, and that's another reason why I think it's fine for them to make money because make more money than some of the other athletes. They do put their bodies on the line. They do put their lives on the line every play and injuries on their body. I mean, the wear and tear on these guys over 4 or 5 years in college, whether they ever play pro football or not, you know it, Buck. It's lifelong, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are your knees and back? And
I'm a piece of crap for it. That's what I am.
You've battled those things your whole life, and you played for Boston College and suffered 2 major knee injuries while you were there, and now you've got a replaced knee, correct?
Yes, and a bad back to go along with it, and a bad neck.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that's...
But that's where it won't be about... That's where it has to be within you. It can't be about that money. The money is really, really nice, but it's the, what do you want to present for your university? You got to have some pride in where you go to school, you know?
By the way,
I love the University of Texas as much as I like Boston College.
Which is your alma mater.
Which is my alma mater, but I've had so many good things happen because of the state of Texas, but through that university, I got a lot of things. Like I said, I went to places that I never would have got opportunities to go, most likely.
That's right.
And so I appreciate everything that... I understand. What I don't like of Texas is I don't like the softness of their football players.
Yeah, they've got to fix that.
They really are. And that's not just about the games. That's somewhere else. You know what I mean? That doesn't just happen
in
the games.
Well, that's bigger than just the program has a problem, and they've got to get that turned. But I will say this, Zay.
And by the way, you can be a country clubber and be kind of hardcore. I mean, it's
you can.
You know, you really can.
Well, I was thinking about the future when you go down to Texas football practice and the parking lot looks like a Ballers episode. All these guys driving fancy cars, and that's going to be like that.
Oh, they're going to get them cars now.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's going to get cars, and hopefully somebody is putting something away for...
A rainy day,
or when dude got the engagement ring from the lady there at the stadium. So these dudes need to make sure they're putting it away so that their girls, so that when it happens, they'll be the one on the knee and not handed something over to them and saying, I couldn't get that.
Hopefully they're investing in Bitcoin and some Ethereum and some digital currency, too, out there.
Just still get that degree.
We'll be back. We'll pick it up with the salacious gossip and your blitz coming. It's only as good as you make it. It's been good of late, so bring it strong. But first, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip. It's brought to you by the Bud Lights. Hope you had some nice cold Bud Lights. I did last night watching the Wind Bowl, Monday Night Football, while celebrating the 49th birthday. Had a nice dinner and then some Bud Lights and a football game. Not bad. Not a bad way to spend a Monday. And it was, for a game that didn't feature much offense, it was a pretty entertaining game.
Yes, it was.
That's just amazing.
Watch the Patriots play is always fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
What are they going to take away from you?
So methodical, and last night was just a clinic on discipline of just staying the course, hitting your blocking assignment.
And dude, if you get a tip ball with them, they capitalize on that kind of stuff.
7 in a row now, and it would be 8. That Cowboys game went to overtime, and they almost had the Cowboys, and that's how good they're playing right now. I think they're the class of the AFC between they and Kansas City, and right now if they played, I think I'd pick the Patriots to win that game. The way they're being able to run the football, control the line of scrimmage on both sides, and play that great defense. And you said it, Buck. That is just complimentary football at its
finest. Oh, my goodness. You know exactly going into the game what you're going to do.
And they couldn't stop it.
No.
And then, you know, obviously Josh Allen and the Bills just not physical enough right now to match that. And
what happened to that group?
Well, they've never been a great running team, and teams have taken notice, and they play in a cold climate. It is amazing that they're kind of built on, you know, big Josh Allen and his ability. But we'll talk more about that game coming up. Let's get to some gossip here. Did you see Lewis Hamilton? The F1 racer, he's done pretty well for himself, right? He's not going to win the championship this year, is he? It's going to be Sebastian Vettel?
Yes.
But how about this?
Not Vettel, the other guy, isn't it?
It's not Vettel. It's Verstappen?
Verstappen, yes.
Lewis Hamilton sold his New York City penthouse for a smooth $49.5 million.
Damn!
That's a spot right there, that thing?
And that's on top of a roof. That's a penthouse in New York City. 50 mil. Made a cool $6 million in the exchange. Way to go, Lewis. And that is a... This house looks like something out of it. Like it's a joke.
Wow.
What did he sell it for? This house that he had in New York City, 70-foot
probably didn't need to
pool.
Sell that, Zay. Probably could have just still kept that, paid the tax, the yearly tax, coming to New York every once in a while.
What?
That's got to go.
So, if you're barely there?
Think about this. You got this penthouse. It has access to a 70-foot swimming pool, gym, Turkish bath, courtyard and lounge area.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Yeah, man. And whoever bought the penthouse for 50 mil will be in good company. Harry Styles, Justin Timberlake, and Jessica Biel and The Weeknd have been have owned that home over the years.
That same home?
That same house.
Wow. But they had some just on the building, too.
I've told you, have you ever watched the show Succession on HBO? It's about this uber-wealthy billionaire family and the four kids and the old man who runs the empire. It is, when it's just that kind of money, it's just silly. It's craziness that they're dealing with right there. But yeah, that happened. Also, it is, on a somber note, it is the anniversary. 80 years ago this day was Pearl Harbor Day. And you made a trip while you were coaching at Texas.
I did.
To visit the memorial for Pearl Harbor where thousands of our service members were killed on that fateful day, a day that will live in infamy.
Very sombering ride across the channel there.
And when you consider the immediate access to information that we have now, right, when something happens, somebody farts, it's on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's out. You know, people found out about this on a radio broadcast. You know, it happened, and people didn't even really know it until the word started getting back to the United States, and getting back to the States, I should say, from Hawaii, and then the president made an address, but... Oh, how times have changed, 80 years.
And it is an eerie feeling when you go there for your first time.
Has to be, because if not, I mean, that began our, you know, entry into World War II and the Greatest Generation.
Dropping the big one.
Save the world. Save the world from Nazism, who knows what else. I mean, that was the Greatest Generation. So that was 80 years ago on this day. Let's go to your Blitz.
And E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitz, are you up?
So NCAA used to penalize schools for giving students free hamburgers and borrowing the coach's car. Now they're making millions of dollars. He's got egg on their face.
They've been making money a long time, just under the table.
Yeah. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Muggy B.
What's up?
This is Coach Brian Kelly, LSU Tigers. So, you put the rice in the sausage, but you don't call it sausage. You call it boudin?
Yeah, that's what you do. And then you put the squirrel on top of the rice with the beans. Yeah. And you call that squirrel with the little ribs on the side coming out.
We got to get you, because you can't think of Louisiana food and think squirrel all the time. It's some of the best food on the planet. And some of the best restaurants on the planet. And
I like that boudin.
You go to the squirrel.
I go directly to squirrel when I think of Louisiana. Yes. Baton Rouge. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, two things. Let me get this out. Patterson, cost $500,000. Goal, get us ready for the SEC. He brings some kind of filth to the defense. I don't know what it is, but it always works. Two, Joe Brady, cost $500,000. Go get the receivers ready for the NFL, and he did it, okay? That was his goal, okay? He didn't deal with Joe Burrow. He dealt with the receivers at LSU, and look what kind of impact players he's got in the league.
Thank you, sir.
Well, if you told me you can get Joe Brady here as your wide receiver coach.
For $500,000? I think he's going to cost a little more than that.
I think $500,000 is on the light side of that guy. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, dude, this is Vince Young. Hey, can we send some plumbers over to the Vince Young Steakhouse to dig around in the walls and see if that's where all my money went?
Oh, no.
This is Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church.
Oh, my goodness. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
All right, so you hate the Yankees because they try and buy a championship, but you're okay with the Longhorns.
Well, I hate the Yankees because they're the Yankees.
Yeah, we're not hating the Yankees because they got money. They just got money. That's not why you hate the Yankees, I don't believe. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
What's up?
That time in Hawaii, was that the time that you forgot to put Ricky Williams back in the game so he could get those 10 yards?
10 yards. That 10 was, yards.
That was that year, I believe, yes. That's when he asked me if he could go sit in the stands with his mom. I had to be the bad guy and say, no, you can't go sit in the stands. But she's right behind us. I don't care. No, you can't take your jersey off and go sit right there.
Last Blitzer.
Yes, you're up.
Hey, Coach Flood, you need a lineman? This is Fred Albert.
There you go.
Oh! Shut it down!
And by the way,
let's go!
On the Longhorns' reference to the New York Yankees, until they install a salary cap of some kind, if you're not spending like the Yankees are trying to win, you're not trying. Why would you cap yourself if you don't have to?
You don't have to. I mean, absolutely.
Isn't that kind of the point? But what was this common phrase? If you're not cheating, you're not trying?
That's what they say.
If you're not spending, you're not trying.
You're not trying.
Because it's legal. And you got to spend like the Yankees and spend like the Yankees.
But you are the Yankees of college football.
Should
when
be.
It comes to money-wise, right?
Money, marketing, brand.
Yeah.
A lot of number ones there. But revenues, that's something. Use it. That would be my argument. You know, the Aggies are down at College Station. They're using it. We'll be back, B&E, with you. Rolling forward. Got a good update on this Lewis Hamilton story, too. We'll get you. Also, week 13 in the NFL in the books now. We'll get to the Cowboys conversation. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9 AM.